Welcome to the Small Business Big Heart Podcast. I'm your host, Amber Zarikor. This podcast is loaded with raw stories from real people running successful businesses with heart to encourage and inspire you along your journey. We will focus on the heart behind the business, aka you, the business owner, by sharing their heart, their story, and the passion behind why they started in the first place. As a business owner myself, I'm here to remind you that in the midst of the organized chaos that comes with running a business, good things do indeed happen to good people. My goal and heart for this podcast is that you will walk away with lessons learned from people who have walked a similar journey for the inspiration to keep going. Chase that big scary dream. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hello and welcome to our final episode of the first season of Small Business Big Heart. Y'all, I seriously cannot believe we made it here. I just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening and helping honor these incredible stories. And I'm so excited for you to meet the woman that really made this podcast possible, Elizabeth Evans. She's a renowned producer here in Nashville, and she's helped podcasters like Jordan Lee Dooley, Living with Landon, Mallory Irvin, and yours truly. When I say I couldn't have started Small Business Big Heart without her, that is literally the understatement of the year. I connected on a heart level with her right away, and her encouragement and skills got me to make the leap towards my big scary dream. Throughout this season, as we've been sharing all of the incredible stories of our Copperheart Creative clients, I've been asked more and more about my personal journey to entrepreneurship. And I knew Elizabeth was the perfect person to interview me as I share my story. On today's episode, I step into the hot seat. We flip roles and I talk about how I went from full-time employee to full-time CEO in one whirlwind year. I share how I accidentally quit my 9-to-5 job in a staff meeting, which led me into the business that I had in my heart all along. We talk about boundaries and why filling our cup is the antidote to burnout. I also walk you through three big secrets that I learned about starting a business successfully. And I mean, we really covered it all. Y'all, I just love chatting with Elizabeth, and this episode is a celebration of all the things that I've learned this year and all of the amazing people that have made this moment possible. So let's get into it. Here is my personal interview alongside podcast producer, Elizabeth Evans. Thank you, Elizabeth, for being here. It's such a joy, and this is such a weird experience to be on the other side of the mic, but you always made that so comfortable, so thank you.
Thank you. No, I'm excited to dive in and do a little bit of a flipping of the table on here for you.
I know it, literally. Well, as everyone knows, Elizabeth helped me start the podcast and walked me through this journey. I met her and I watched her stuff and I'm like, oh, I think one day I'm going to want to start a podcast. I think I'm going to do it. And finally, she just encouraged me and I took the leap of faith and reached out, and it has been nothing but wonderful because I learned I couldn't do this by myself. And so, Elizabeth, thank you so much for being here and just allowing our listeners to hear your voice and hear your heart. And thank you so much for interviewing me.
Yes, of course. Thanks for having me on. You know, I really like to say that I'd like for people to come to me when they feel like I can't start this on my own, and I want to give them the tools to maintain it on their own. So it's kind of like a counselor. You want to make sure that, you know, you're there when they need you, and then you really give them the tools and the resources to keep going on their own. So you are so more than capable and have such amazing stories to tell and people to have on. So it was a joy to walk through the process with you, and let that just be a testament to anybody that's listening to you. If they think, gosh, I just can't do it, or you've been thinking about starting a show for 2 years, it's time, and you can make it happen. We promise.
You can do it. If I can do it, you can do it.
Yes. Well, let's dive in a little bit to your story this morning, Amber, because you have gone through a lot, and it took a lot of your journey to even get you to the point of starting a podcast. But let's go ahead and back up a little bit. You're obviously the CEO and founder of Copperheart. So back me up a little bit to what made you take that leap on that big, scary dream to even start what you have created in the first place?
So I took my big scary leap on accident, and I love telling that story, but it all started, I was working a 9-to-5 job at a branding agency here in Nashville, and It was wonderful. Like, we got to work with a lot of incredible clients, but the environment was not what I signed up for. And we went to a introductory marketing meeting in Baxter, Tennessee, and we sat down with this female-owned jewelry company, and I was over the moon. I am such a girly girl, and I love jewelry, and I love inspiring others. So, like, this was so up my alley. So we're sitting in this marketing meeting, and the owner is sharing her story. This is the first time I've met her. And just hearing her talk about getting started, how she had the courage to start this jewelry company out of a spare bedroom. And then now it is a national jewelry company. Unreal. And so I'm over here like googly-eyed at her story, seeing this empowered boss woman sharing her story. And I am 24 at the time. And so I'm just oohing and aahing of like, this lady's got it all together. Like, she is awesome. And I want to be her one day. And I realized that what I connected to was her heart and her story. And where that word vomit almost came up, like, I felt like I had to tell her that for some reason. And if you've ever gone through like a grocery store or anything like that, and you felt like you were supposed to compliment someone or say something, it's almost, I mean, I'm a Christian, and so I believe that it's God saying whatever message he needs that person to hear is about to come through me. And I always feel like it's like a push on the back. Like, it's this urge of like, you can't not do it. And when you do, you feel awful afterwards. And so I felt that feeling, and I speak up. I don't think I was supposed to speak at this meeting, but I did. And I was like, Kelly, your story is beautiful, and the way that you live and lead your team is incredible. And I can go back and like listen to this, and it still makes me tear up. And the way that she loves her team and leads and her family and her grace about it all, she's so humble, so, so, so humble. And I just appreciated that. And I was like, you have got to share your story. Women are going to connect with this everywhere. Like, your story, everything is going to explode. And she said back, I don't want to be in the limelight because my team, it's a community, it's a group effort. We're in this together. I love my team. They're such a big part of this. I don't want the spotlight. And everyone started sobbing. Like, I mean, there was probably like 5 people from her team and 3 from our team. And like, everyone's crying except for my boss. And so we're sitting there, and it's just so emotional. And I'm so glad that I said it. But then I feel like, you know, when someone's staring at you and you know someone's staring at you, I felt that. And I like look over subtly at my boss, and I was like, oh no, I wasn't supposed to speak. And he acknowledged it and let us have a moment for a second, but then was like, okay, moving on. Like, that's enough of that. And that moment alone, like the tone in his voice of saying, like, we're done here. Like, that's enough. When she's sharing her heart and her story. And it's like an hour drive from Baxter to Nashville. That whole drive, I was like, that was wrong. This business is her baby. Her team is her family. Like, why did we, I understand like we can't sit there and cry all day, but that was a breakthrough. And I think that that's something that her and her team needed to hear to continue to move forward united. Why did we stop that? And so I learned in myself that in that moment, I design with heart for people with heart. And that was where my whole mission changed. And so the next staff meeting we're all in, we're sitting there, we're talking about deliverables, blah, 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 like not so fun designer stuff, logistics. And we're sitting there, and I just felt again that like, I think I need to say something. I should say something. It was like this heat, this push, this like, I need to say something. I'm like, am I about to throw up? Like, what's about to happen? And all of a sudden the words, I quit, fell out of my mouth. And I like put my hand over my mouth, and I'm like looking around. I'm like, who said that? And everyone's staring at me, everyone in the staff meeting. And I'm like, oh, that was, I said that. Wow. That just came out of my mouth. Do I believe that? Yeah. I need to quit. I need to be done. And that was it. That was where I fell into entrepreneurship. It almost found me, and I trusted my gut. It wasn't, I mean, the next 2 days I was hiding in a hole and was scared to tell my mom. But outside of that, it was just so much of just processing that and knowing that designing with heart means more than having a client as a transaction. And that's where my whole why came from.
Wow. That's a really beautiful thing. I'm sure it felt maybe anything but beautiful at the moment when you're kind of probably having this outer body experience of like, oh my gosh, was that me that just said I quit? Was that the girl next to me? Or was that me standing up for myself and being really brave? And so tell me about that kind of in-between time of saying I quit and you started to make that leap into your big scary dream and really launching the business aspect of what Carpet Heart is today.
Man. Honestly, looking back, I'm like, I feel like I blacked that part out because I'm like, I was hustling so hard. Like,
yeah.
Now I'm in the season where I'm like, please, no hustle, all balance, all mm-hmm. boundaries. But that week in the building season, that when I first got started, I was hustling. I was at Starbucks from open to close, working, trying to get my website up, reach out to all these people that would be potential projects, reaching out to old connections. It was a whirlwind. But even going from that, like I had started as freelance. Mm-hmm. And there's a difference between freelance and being a business owner. It's a For mindset sure. thing. And I was a freelancer. And so, of course, I was like, I have no boundaries. I have no work hours. I just need to pay my rent, like working all through the night, working with no schedule, no boundaries, no budget, all over the place. And so I was probably doing that for about a year. And just honestly throwing stuff against the walls and seeing what would stick.
Yeah.
Having some really tough client conversations that I was not prepared for. I mean, I had so much respect for my bosses after that, like stepping in their shoes and having to have those hard conversations. But it was a year of just throwing stuff against the wall. And then finally I was like, oh, I think I built a branding agency. I should change this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you think flipped in your mindset from the freelancer to the owner of a business? What was the biggest mindset shift from you to go from point A to point B?
Burnout.
Yeah.
Burnout. Mm-hmm. And I had built this community of freelancers, other freelancers, now business owners. I refer to them as business owners because yeah. there's something in there that says, I'm a business owner. Oh, you have boundaries. You have mm-hmm. work hours. If you say I'm a freelancer, they're like, oh, I can message you at 10 p.m. You probably are cheap, blah, blah, blah. There's just a different mindset shift in that. Mm-hmm. And so burnout was a huge thing for me. And I knew that I couldn't continue doing that if I wanted to do this for real. Also, I had branded it to my maiden name.
Okay.
And that wasn't going to last long because 2 weeks after I quit my job, I met my husband.
Wow.
Off Bumble.
Big and time. So big time changes.
Lots of changes. Literally within probably 2 weeks, my whole life flipped upside down.
Oh my goodness. That's a lot of things to go through at one point in time. I know when I first started my agency, one of the things I literally had to practice, Amber, and I resonate with what you were saying, is like I had to practice saying, I own a podcast media agency. And I had to continue saying that and practicing that in private before I really even felt comfortable saying it out loud to other people, because it is that difficult to shift that mindset. And so I probably, if anybody ever walked by, I'm just like repeating the same phrase over and over to myself. But that is, it's such a big leap. And I think even just like you were saying, for boundary purposes, because if people want freedom, I always say you're probably not going to initially find it being a business owner because there's so many things to figure out and it's hard to turn that brain off. But finding that more rhythmic lifestyle, setting those boundaries, shifting that personal development kind of mindset is so huge. So tell me a little bit more about, you just brought up a little bit about the community and the connections and the network that you had started to create during your freelance and transitioning more into the CEO mindset. So tell me how that really impacted your business.
Yeah. So we were doing a bunch of work and I am obviously a graphic designer, but I realized that I was working on bigger projects than what I could do. I needed copywriters. I needed developers. I needed photographers. I needed all these creatives in my back pocket that I could call on because I was signing these bigger projects. And so I just reached back into my network from my previous careers. I had job jumped a lot. And so I had a lot of different developers that I knew. I had a lot of different copywriters and they were all over the country. And so I had taken this like collection of humans that I really enjoyed working with. We all had similar values. We got into it for the same reason. And we saw clients as people, not transactions. Mm-hmm. So that was a huge thing, was we had the same values. And working by yourself is so lonely. And so being able to step into these huge projects with a team, even though they weren't W-2, They were all 1099. And depending on who signed the project, we would just work underneath each other. And so the tipping point of working as Amber Brannon Designs, which even saying that, like, who is that girl? That's crazy. Shifting into Copperheart Creative was we got on a call. We were redoing this huge WordPress website and my developer hopped on first. And the client was like, oh, are you, you're not Amber. You're a male. Like, who is Amber? Because they signed a contract with Amber Brannon Designs. And I was like, I hop on the call. And by then my copywriter, my developer have already been on, they're chatting with her. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is customer confusion. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know who she's talking to. And Amber Brannon Designs is no more. Like, mm-hmm. I am not a one woman show anymore. This is a team effort. I need to include my team. And so I shifted. I opened up Copperheart Creative, and copper is the metal that forms with other metals. It's like the glue that holds them all together. And that's exactly what we were creating for clients, is I was the glue that held all these other business owners, creative business owners together. It's been fun.
Yeah. That's such a big shift from, you know, having more of a personal branded aspect and then launching into, you know, there's teams and there's management and then there's relationship aspects of it. And so you'd mentioned burnout and you touched a little bit on loneliness as well. Were there any other large obstacles that you felt like you had to encounter when you first started to launch, whether it was Amber Brannon Designs or transitioning that into Copperheart Creative?
I think one of the biggest struggles for me is I've always kind of owned this belief of I'm not a numbers person. Mm. I was not in the smart math classes in high school. I was not the brightest crown in the box, but I would tell you every single color in that crown box and probably the Pantone color of it. So like I was very creative minded, but I just didn't have that business owner savvy sales numbers side. And so that was something that I really struggled with in the beginning of, I didn't know how much to pitch myself as. I knew where the market stood because I had worked in freelance and worked at agencies. So I knew there was a big gap between agencies and freelancer. And so I knew a ballpark to stick in with for my prices. But outside of that, I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And I think I need QuickBooks. I think I've heard of that before. I don't know. And I think I need an accountant, but how much do those cost? Like, I can't afford that. Or the limiting belief of I'm not established enough to have an accountant. So the thing that I did was, one, I asked for a lot of help. I reached out to other people that were doing what I wanted to be doing. And I asked them, what are the first steps that I need to be taking? Because I have no idea what I'm doing. And then two, I reached out to professionals and I paid them for their time. So CPAs, a lawyer, an IP attorney, I got all of my books set up properly, my taxes ready to go. I trademarked my name. I bought my URL. Like, I was doing all of these things. And it, looking back, I'm like, wow, I am pretty good at numbers and I can be this savvy. So it was almost a shift in asking for help, doing the work, and then believing that I could actually do it.
Right. Was there a mantra that you shifted out of I'm not numbers oriented to I am? And then what had you fill in the blank with that now?
I would probably say everything is figure outable.
Yeah.
So I love that book. Yeah. And you can Google anything. The amount of things that I have Googled in my life is unreal. And then outside of that, I had, again, my community that I had started to form with other creative business owners, other female business owners. I had people to ask questions to. I joined masterminds. I hired a coach. Like, I made all of these small, minute steps that seem, looking back, tiny, but now feeling it here. Like, all of those tiny steps led me to where I am today, sitting here talking to you.
I love that.
Hey guys, Amber here. Are you ready to stand out from the crowd? Then I have the perfect thing for you. Our branding questionnaire from Copperheart Creative is our highest value document and is hands down the most important part of our branding process. Before we ever start the creative process, we require clients to fill out this in-depth questionnaire to create a clear vision and direction for their brand. This is our signature questionnaire that typically only our one-on-one clients get. But if you're looking for clarity in your branding, hop over to copperheartcreative.com and buy your copy of our very own brand questionnaire.
So let's think about maybe somebody that is sitting and they're listening to this and they're thinking, okay, maybe I want to jump into this, whether it's freelance, whether it's a full-on blown like CEO agency. We talked a little bit about like the masterminds and maybe hiring a CPA and then asking for help. But if you just sort of break down like three initial steps for a new entrepreneur to start and launch, whether it's a passion project or maybe it is just something that they just want to get started because they've been thinking about for so long, what would be sort of like those three steps or three phases that you would suggest for a new entrepreneur or business owner?
Honestly, I think starting your business and getting started, and that's the hardest part, is just starting. People prepare and prepare and prepare. And fortunately for me, my planner self, I accidentally quit. So I was thrown in.
Yeah.
But if I was sitting back and looking at my different steps and these small milestones that led to big milestones, mm-hmm. I would probably say is three steps. One, know your why. Why you're showing up, why you're doing this every day. It's going to keep you strong on the hard days because entrepreneurship is no joke. Next, I would say know who you are, knowing why you're different from everyone else on the market. Yeah. Like I knew that my story was in serving people with heart and designing with heart. And that's what set me apart, was it's a relational aspect. So know why you're different. And then three is know who the heck you're serving. A lot of people start businesses and they have this grand scheme. They build out their website and they're like, I'm ready. And then no one comes, crickets, because they don't know who they're actually talking to. Business is, you're solving a problem. Entrepreneurship is problem solving 101. You see a gap in the market or you see a problem and you fill that. And so for us specifically, it's filling new businesses, looking for branding, trying to get launched with a professional brand to build trust for their customers. We design with heart for people with heart. What do you do? Why do you do it? And who do you serve? Three things.
Perfect. That is so good. And something that it takes a lot of internal and introspective nature and rhythms and just slowing down. Because you're so right. If people just want to skirt past that, you will get maybe some short-term success, but you will not have long-term longevity of relationships and building and growth. So I love that. Know your why, know yourself and your difference. And then lastly, know who you're serving. I think those are all wonderfully and most important aspects of starting a business that people can really just blow by. Is there a favorite book? You kind of mentioned a little bit about Everything is Figureoutable by Marie Forleo. Was there another book that you loved when you were first starting out or even now that still helps you?
Yeah, I think while I was building, I didn't even have the brain capacity to read books.
Totally.
I was too busy hustling. I was too busy checking every single blog, Googling every day, and then emailing out the wazoo. So by the time the day was done, I was so burnt out, I couldn't consume more content. And I think that's okay in seasons. And being a podcast, it's like, okay, I get it. If you can't listen right now, don't overflow your brain. But in the seasons when you're ready to digest content and ready to learn and pick that back up, there's so much value in books. And so I, specifically in the season right now, is big for me in self-love, optimism, and boundaries. Mm-hmm. And so I've been reading Chasing the Bright Side by Jess Ekstrom. Love her. She talks about optimism and what that looks like and owning your story. And it just really resonated with me. And she's hilarious. And it's just such a light, happy read, especially after the hard year that we've had. And then the other one is Boundaries by Dr. Henry Cloud.
Love it.
So good. And I always feel so seen when I read that book, especially the first chapter. That's probably the hardest one to get through because I'm like, did they document my life? Yeah. But it's so good. And I am huge on business boundaries, huge, 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 because of that burnout in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I refuse to go through that again. Yeah. I mean, it happened in 2016. It happened again in 2018. I can't do it again. Mm-hmm. And now my husband relies on me to show up. I've built a community that I need to show up. And I'm not taking care of anybody if I'm not taking care of myself. So boundaries has been huge in my business.
Yeah, I think that's so good because I think a lot of times, and I'm so guilty of this too, I want to make sure that I'm building a business that is conducive with my life, not changing my life to be conducive with my business. And it's really hard to maintain that mindset when there's so many different things going on. And so I think continuing to work on that until it is the norm rather than a changed behavior is so, so important, especially when you're starting out. And yes, of course, there's going to be that time where you're just getting started and you're taking on whatever work that you can get. But when you find that you're also able to kind of get to the state of you get to step back and you as a business owner get to choose what work you want to take on or not is such an area of freedom. I'm curious to know whether, I don't know, maybe it was recently or maybe it was more so when you first started out, if there was a point where you were like, I can't keep going. A lot of times, I know this is a silly story, but I think a lot about when Tony Robbins first started out. And I think he said it in a bunch of interviews. He was like, I was terrible, my employees, I went bankrupt. And I realized like, shoot, I have to get this together. So even on my hardest days, I'm like, if Tony Robbins went bankrupt and he came back to be what he is, then I can do it too. Is there a story that you feel like maybe early on where you were like, I can't come back from this, or this is too much? Or like, was there a time where you're like, you look back and you're like, I'm so glad I pushed through that despite it being so hard?
So I hope that our future clients aren't listening right now, because I obviously want to keep their trust and instill trust in our yes. clientele, but I'm just going to get real, because running a business is so hard. And I can honestly say that at least, I mean, I'm coming up on year 5 and that's huge, but I can say looking back that out of the 5 years, I have at least applied to one full-time job a year because it got too hard. Or I had that client that I was like, what am I doing? Like, I can't make them happy. But you know what? No one can make them happy, but they came to us for seeking for that. And so looking back, I can see that. But when I was in the moment, I'm like, I can't get up today. Mm-hmm. I can't do this anymore. And I didn't sign up for this, or I don't want this much responsibility anymore. It might be easier just to go get a 9-to-5. And I think for anyone feeling that right now, I want them to know that it's not failure. Mm-hmm. If you walk through that and you've lived the journey out of running a business, and it's just the season is over. But I think where all of that comes in is my faith. Mm-hmm. And every time I've wanted to quit, it was the easy route out. And every single time God's like, we're not done here yet. I'm not done with you, and we are not done yet. And so it's the hardest on those days, but that's where it comes back to your why. And I look back at the people that I've gotten to sit across the table from and look them in their eyes, present their branding, and they just sob because this was everything they've ever thought about, dreamt about, wanting to create for their business. And I was able to see it. Our team was able to create it, and we were able to deliver. And now they're a thriving business. And they might still have these same thoughts that I have at least once a year. Maybe it's once a month or once a week, because Lord knows it's hard. Mm-hmm. And we're all thinking this. I mean, there's that Instagram graphic that's always like, it's like the entrepreneurship roller coaster. It's so real. One day you're like, I am cranking this out. I am crushing it. I just made a new sale. I hired a new employee, blah, blah, blah. And then the next day, something happens in your personal life, or taxes are due. Womp, womp. Oh, like
that's
literally.
The worst time.
So it's just wild how that all creeps up. But it's literally like, if you walk into this thinking it's all going to be puppies and rainbows, running a business, stepping into marriage, anything, like, it's real, it's hard, and you got to do the work, but you also have to give yourself grace, because you're not meant to just ground pavement. We're human. We all make mistakes. As long as you keep coming back to your why and trusting a bigger power than yourself and releasing those plans and opening your hands and just knowing that the future, God's got you this far, He'll continue to carry you through this. I think that's the biggest piece of entrepreneurship and why I'm still here in year 5, because I would have had a lot of different jobs by now if I quit and jumped into other creative roles, but I don't think I can go back to a 9-to-5.
Yeah. And I think that's really brave of you to talk about, because I think a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners really feel like that. And they're probably having those thoughts more often than they're even willing to admit. And you're right. It's not failure if you go back to a 9-to-5. What is failure is continuing to do something that's out of alignment. And I think for you and for me as well, going back to a 9-to-5 for us would be surrendering a part of ourselves or abandoning a part of ourselves that we're not ready to give up on. And I think it's really honest to talk about the thoughts that go on. I would have considered myself a pretty emotionally stable person before I started my business, but it is the biggest personal development journey you will ever go on. And it has made, when I come out on the other side of any business obstacle, I find my relationships are healthier. I find my friendships are healthier because it was highlighting aspects of myself that could go unnoticed in most relationships, but nothing's going to go unnoticed in your business when you're running it. And you're so right. There's just all of those thoughts that, you know, one minute it's great and the next minute it's just really, really hard. But at the end of the day, if you are that connected to your why and you are just extremely, excruciatingly honest with yourself, that's what's going to keep you going. And just like you said, you know your why so well and you know who you're serving so well. And it's really those three things that you said before is what's going to get you on the other side of those obstacles. Because like you said, Lord knows it is not easy to run a business, but it is one of the most satisfying things to see your team working in synchronicity, to see like the happiness on your client's face when you're presenting that branding to them. So I'm proud of you for pushing through all of that and being honest enough to share what's really going on internally sometimes. But the world and your clients are better for it and for what you do. So we've talked about boundaries a little bit here and there in the conversation. Can you tell me exactly what boundaries look like in your business right now?
Absolutely. So my biggest things are the tools that I have and deciding how I use them. So the first thing I did was I decided my working hours. And this looks different for everybody. Mine are where I'm the most productive. When I'm sitting at my computer, I want to be productive. I want to be cranking out work and I want to be focused. So I usually don't book any meetings or take any calls before 11 a.m. And that's because that is my sweet spot. From 11 to 2 or 11 to 1, I am cranking out work. I'm so productive. And that is my max time where I can be creative. And then I shut off at 5. My husband comes home from work. He's walking in. He's like, hello. And that's where I close my computer and I go downstairs. And it stops there. Work stops for me. I don't check my email. I don't have it on my phone. I don't read text messages from clients. I ask them to email me. I also use Boomerang on my Gmail. So if I am for some reason answering emails later or after hours, I'm waiting and timing and scheduling them out so that they're sending at 8 a.m. the next morning and I'm not sending it at 10 p.m. because if I breach their boundaries, they're going to breach mine. And so that's so important to me. And then also with that, I don't use my actual cell phone number. So I have a Google Voice number that I set up. And that is just that there's a do not disturb in there for that phone number specifically. And it says our office hours are from 9 to 5. And you can email us if you're getting this voicemail, blah, blah, blah. It's a complete boundary. And I've gotten nothing but respect from that.
Wow.
And I feel like when we're showing up and we're not having those boundaries, we get upset at our clients. We are confused and burnt out of why people are texting us at 10 p.m., why we feel like we have to answer all these emails from our phones. When if a client emails me, I can't do anything about it. I might be able to put out a fire or delay it, but I can't actually open my computer, design what they're asking me for, and deliver it. So why am I stressing out over it?
Yeah.
So those are some big tools that I use in my business to keep those boundaries, because that burnout is so real. And I know that in order to not burn out, I have to take care of myself and keep these boundaries.
Okay. So you have your set time for meetings and it's not in your flow state time. You have a certain time that you stop working so you can really focus on your personal relationships. And it was such a good tip to not give out your personal cell phone number for work purposes. I think those are three extremely tangible things, not easy things to implement. So I applaud you for not just setting a boundary, but keeping the boundary. We can build the fence, but if that fence is a little flimsy, it can be easy to knock it down. So you not only set those, but you maintain those. And that is just huge in business.
Oh yeah. Because if you don't, you're going to burn out And then you'll go back to those boundaries and see where it started. So it's a slippery slope right there. Boundaries are. And so as a 2 on the Enneagram, all I want to do is help. I know my limits. And if I don't fill my cup and take care of my own boundaries, I can't pour into others. So it's all in how you show up for yourself and protect yourself.
Tell me a little bit about what the future of Copper Heart is looking like for you right now.
Well, coming into year 5, it's super exciting. And we've pivoted so much from our offerings already. Like looking back, I would just say yes to everything. And so coming into future, we are solidifying being branding experts. And that was the best decision I've ever made because that's where our secret sauce is. So for future, the podcast obviously has been incredible and will continue. We're really looking at getting more involved in the branding and being more accessible to other businesses. So I won't give away too much, but we are working on some big things for year 5. And I am constantly trying to figure out new ways to make my business fit into my life. And my life has gone through a lot of different seasons. And so I don't know what these next seasons are going to look like. Maybe motherhood, hopefully.
Yeah, girl.
And I think that's going to look different than what I could even ever imagine. And so that's going to come with trusting my team, automating a lot of the things that I'm doing manual right now. Maybe I should be doing those things anyways.
Yeah.
But just continuing to serve clients with heart, but it's going to look a little different. So we're excited for the future.
I'm excited for you personally and professionally. And I know just the amazing way that you are able to put people's personality and heart into something visual that others can connect with is truly bar none. And it really is a gift that you have, and leadership is a gift that you've had. So where can people connect with you and find more of you and your branding and podcast and updates to come up?
Yeah. So right now, obviously, Small Business Big Heart podcast has been a great way that we've been able to share our clients' stories and just have really honest, vulnerable conversations like this. So it has been such a gift to do that and provide this safe area for entrepreneurs to share the good, bad, and ugly, which is so important to me, that vulnerability piece, because that shares our hearts. So Small Business Big Heart, or on all the places where you listen to podcasts, smallbusinessbigheart.com, and then also following us on Instagram at smallbusiness_bigheart. And then Copper Heart Creative, we are online, copperheartcreative.com. And then our Instagram and on socials, pretty much any social platform, we're at Copper Heart Creative. And we love sharing tips and tricks. We are so vulnerable and real with how we're showing up, and we love highlighting and sharing our clients that have trusted them with their brands. So if you need a little encouragement or a lot of encouragement, those two places would be the best place. And then if you want to connect with me personally, which I love making new friends, it's at Amber Zarecore.
That's awesome. Yes. Everybody go give all of those places a follow. And after you finish listening to this one, go back and listen to Kelly's episode for a little bit more depth to what we talked about here today and hear kind of Kelly's side of the story too. So once this episode is over, be sure to hop on over, listen to that episode as well. Give Amber a follow on all of those accounts. Amber, you are so transparent and authentic and helpful and bright. I'm just so grateful that you came into my life all those years ago.
I know. Look at us now. What would we have ever thought?
No, not even for a hot second, but I'm just so glad about it.
Well, thank you so much. I know this is so strange being on the other side of the table, but it's been so great. And I just love, I've loved hearing all of our listeners' feedback, the reviews, and just how this podcast has really impacted the lives of entrepreneurs by giving other entrepreneurs, our branding clients, a place to share their story. So we hope that you'd write us a review and continue to listen. Hey guys, me again. I wanted to pop on one more time before letting you go and just say thank you for listening and being a part of this huge dream of mine. I couldn't have imagined doing this without your support, and reading through your reviews and hearing your feedback on socials has literally meant the world to me. It makes my heart so full. This podcast was created for you, with your journey in mind, and with your heart at the focus. It's what kept me going. It's what kept me excited. Y'all, I can't wait to bring you season 2. To stay connected and be the first to know about that release, follow Small Business Big Heart on Instagram
and sign up for our newsletter on copperheartcreative.com. Again, thank you so much for joining me, and thank you to all of our guests for being so open with your stories. I can't wait to see you guys in season 2. Until then, keep chasing those big, scary dreams.